The most important person in the whole wide world
is you, and you hardly even know you.
The most important person in the whole wide world
is you. Come on, we'll show you.
Let's find out more about the things you feel and do,
'cause you're the most important person in the world to you.
Hello, 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 and happy Wednesday. Welcome to One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit, and I am Sonia Spirit. And today is a beautiful Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. So this is the first Wednesday of the month of September, and we are already in the ninth month of the year. Not much longer to go before 2020. But there's going to be a lot of excitement in this year, too. We have an election in less than, 60 days or something close to it. Of course, we still have a pandemic. We have a failing economy. Let's see. Yeah, that's a lot. There's a lot going on. However, even though there are all of these adverse activities transpiring, it may or may not affect you. Every experience, even when we share one, we all process it differently. Okay? That's why you see people complaining about folks who are pretty much oblivious to the pandemic. You know, not only are they not wearing masks, they're moving around again. You're free to move about the country. So they're moving around again. And, you know, for the most part, like I said, some people are not worried. You know, some people feels like, oh, it's just a hoax. And now you can be not worried for whatever reason, and you should not be worried. But if that is your experience, then process it. And learn from it and grow from it, okay? Because all experiences are not the same. We are all here to learn different lessons. We are all here to grow into being, of course, the best soul that we can be and raise our vibration level. Okay, so that brings me to today's show. So today's show is titled, All is Mind, the Universe is Mental. And as the description reads, God is consciousness, and so am I. There is no separation between God and I, and yet many of us still feel disconnected. Why? In this episode, I will discuss consciousness from its individual embodiment and the upwardly spiraling hierarchy of frequency vibrations. We can tune ourselves to higher levels of consciousness, imagination, inspiration, and intelligence. Pursuit of higher levels will guide us to a spiritual path or exposure to several paths. And then you get to choose. So if I want to change in my life, if I want a change in my life, I am the one to change. I am the one to change. And I don't care what the change is. If you want to get rid of someone, if you want someone else to change, you know who has to change? You do. You cannot change anyone else. I cannot change anyone else. The only person I can change is myself. Now, why is that important? Because how I change myself may or may not put people in a position to change their response to my behavior. So, you cannot change anyone else. Now, I know parents try, and they get away with it. And I think that's probably our false sense of security. As parents, when we have small children, of course, we have basically assigned ourselves as the authority over them because we gave birth to them. Anyway, but... yeah, when you force someone to do something, it doesn't work. It's never worked. And as parents learn, it doesn't work with teenagers. You can only get away with it the first maybe, 10 years. Now, if you're lucky, maybe till they're grown and gone. It just depends on the household. But what I'm saying is, excuse me, Oh, shucks, I lost my train of thought. Okay, so anyway, getting back, if I want to change, and that's where we stopped, if I want to change my life, then I have to change myself, period. And when I change myself, what happens is people will respond to me differently. Why is that? You're still the same person, but your energy has changed. Your attitude has changed. Listen, we detect all kinds of things outside of our senses, okay? We are not limited or reduced to the five senses. There's so much more to us than that. And so, believe it or not, I mean, and well, this is not a hard sell. We feel each other's energy. That's why someone who rubs you the wrong way, they enter a room and your whole disposition will change. Now, it may not be noticeable to anyone else, but your energy will change. That's because you are responding to an energy presence, one that you don't particularly care for. So you have a reaction to just some energetic presence, just it being present. So, and it happens, you know, like that all the time. And the same thing happens with attraction. Two strangers may be in the same room at the same party, and just for some odd reason, by coincidence or happenstance, which of course does not exist, they meet. However it transpires, however it unfolds, but they meet. And they get together. And these things are not coincidences. And look, and if you think about it, think about, and you may not know some people, but I know a couple of people. And I also talk to a lot of people because part of the work, some of the work that I do is interviewing people over the phone. And they share a lot of personal history with me. It's part of the job, not because, anyway, so it's part of the job. And so, and part of that disclosure is I find that it is not uncommon, now it's not running rampant, but it's not uncommon for spouses to marry, divorce, and then remarry each other. Okay? And that's because of that energy. Now, the reason they can't stay together is because they haven't worked on healing themselves and knowing themselves and being better selves, so that when they do unite with someone, it's more of confluence. It's kind of beautiful. It's a transformation. It's a transformation of two single souls into now a new unit, so to speak. And it's not just and I'm not talking about like legal marriage or anything like that, just two people being attracted, because marriage is a human construct. Okay, there it is. What's the purpose of marriage? Why would you need a license to get married? You don't need a license to have a child. Why do you need a license to choose your partner? That's insane. So anyway, but of course people do it because we've been conditioned and programmed. I mean, there's so many laws that, and if you dug them up, it would be scary, you know, like, I think like the driver's license, it basically grants you permission to use your vehicle that you pay for, but legally it is owned by the state, I think. But, I don't want to get into all that. let's get back to the all is mind. So, yes, this is about the universal law, the first one, but this is not just about talking about the universal law. It's talking about the details, because the devil's in the details. But to understand that everything is energy, okay? Everything is energy. And within that energy is housed some degree of intelligence, okay? And that intelligence, of course, is, I call it God, okay? Just because that's what I grew up with, God, so I'm okay with that. But I also refer to it as the absolute, the all, spirit, But it is, the one and only. So, yeah. Did it again. I think I better start taking notes so I don't lose my way. Drop some crumbs over here. Oh, nope. Speaking of notes. Okay. So all is mind. God is, spirit is mental energy. Okay. It's intelligent energy. So any words that I use, however reductionist it is, it can't possibly begin to grasp the concept of God and all that it embodies or entails. So I'm using these terms loosely, and so, you know, don't get overexcited. But everything in the everything is God, and when you start getting to know yourself, it's easy to kind of like push back from the scene or push back from the table and kind of just observe the world as an observer. Look at it as an observer. And what do you see? And it doesn't matter what you see. It really doesn't. But as you spend more time contemplating, thinking, ruminating on concepts of nature, of God, of being present, life, you know, we get so caught up in the materialism of life because, of course, as I've mentioned before, we have limited ourselves. We have imprisoned ourselves. We being humans have imprisoned ourselves with our being programmed, our limited program. You know, we think we are just physical beings and that's it. And when we die, the party is over. You know, that's why we're so broken up when someone dies. You know, even though we say, oh, they go on to heaven, they're in a better place, blah, blah, blah. Well, you could be in a better place here because it's all about your mind. Your mind and your heart. That's the duality of man. Okay? Or, yeah, because so now a lot of concepts are starting to become fluid, and I don't really like to speak on what I'm currently studying, but it's really starting to come together, and it's really feeling good is all I can say. But what does that mean? It means I still have a lot of work to do, okay, from a personal standpoint. But getting back to the mind is all. So it would behoove you or anyone to learn or to practice to see things from different perspectives. Don't be so closed-minded. Don't be so rigid. And one of the reasons why is because, first of all, it's unnatural. There is nothing rigid about God. It's so interesting how we perceive the world, and a lot of it is just the opposite of what God is. You know, we're so fixed on things. We don't like to change. That's the opposite of God. God is all about change and growth and spreading and creating and emanating, and what else can we manifest? God is in love with expressing, but not a vain love. So when I say in love, try not to limit yourself to man-made thinking. But yeah, that God loves that. And we should, I know, I love change. I really do. I enjoy change. I often try to, I don't want to say conjure up, but I certainly be requesting adventures. And more often than not, they come. But that's because I was requesting them. Now, of course, I still enjoy adventures, but instead of, I'm working on not necessarily requesting what I desire, I am more interested in being in harmony. Okay. Because ultimately, that's where we want to be. So even though, yes, as a physical human, yes, there are materialistic things that I want. But as you know, as soon as we, as humans, as soon as we possess something, the desire is gone. Because you have it. You have it. So that you have experienced it. Or you know it. And think about it. Things that you have purchased, like just, I don't know, it could have been an outfit or a car or a house, or you wanted to date a certain person or sleep with a certain person. And once that activity has come to pass, it has been satisfied. So our desire moves on to something else. And I'm not talking about relationships and people. Because as far as relationships are concerned, we should be a little bit more stable than that. But my point is that as far as manifestation or creativity is concerned, nothing other than God itself is designed to be eternal. Nothing, as in no thing. Remember, God is everything and nothing. God is everything and no one thing. God is the only thing that is eternal. Everything else is created, maintained, or operates, and then it dissolves. It dissipates. It has fulfilled its usefulness. Or maybe it outlived its usefulness. Now, if it's in harmony, it wouldn't have outlived its usefulness. It would just be a natural transition. So there are a lot of things that, you know, just, I don't know, I don't even know how to explain it. Okay, before I start going down another rabbit hole. So let's focus on the hierarchy. We have what we want to do as Know Thyself students, as spiritual healers. One of our objectives, of course, is to raise our own vibration. And we all have the potential to do it, that it exists in all of us. Now, whether or not we do it is another story. Like I said, knowledge is only half of wisdom. The other half is application. Otherwise, you know, it's just knowledge. Anyway. Oh, gosh. This is one of those days. But getting back to where I said I want to be in harmony, and then I started talking about desire. So my long-term goal, objective, is, of course, to be in harmony. So by that being my long-term objective, well, you know, it just means it's going to take a long time to get there, because when you make up in your mind you want something, you really want it right then and there. And trust me, I've tried to find all kinds of shortcuts, and no, they don't exist. And for a long time, I thought witchcraft was a shortcut, and it was in terms of manipulating energies. But I guess it's not really what I wanted. I'm looking for something else. Okay, and I'm not going to forget about talking about the Sacred Woman Circle. Also, before I get off the show. Because that was interesting over the past weekend, too. But let's get back to God. And the mind is all. And the universe is mental. Okay, so we all share in this consciousness. All of us human beings, we all 7.5 billion, however many populates this planet, and whatever other intelligence out there. But right now, I just want to kind of focus on Earth, okay? Because I want us to on healing ourselves. And we have the capability of doing that, but we're so distracted and pulled in so many different directions. And it's by design, you know, and not by God's design, but, you know, there, everyone has an agenda. So even going back to what I was saying about, you know, my long-term objective is to be in harmony. Basically, I mean, because it's the long-term goal of anyone to be. And when I say long-term, I'm talking about the end game. Okay. Is to be in oneness with God. So, I mean, think about how long humans have been around, and look at how much progress and little progress they've made between different iterations of humankind, okay, because this is not the first iteration of humankind. So, ultimately, we all want to be in oneness with God. But it's not like that's going to be something that happens overnight or in any lifetime, any one lifetime. So, initially, of course, you see things and you want things and you have desires. And, a lot of it is materialistic because that just happens to be the plane that we dwell on right now. And as a human, particularly when you think that that's all you are, it's easy to get caught up in the mundaneness of our life, this physical existence, wanting to have nice clothes and basically all we're doing is showing off to each other. You think God is impressed by a house or a house full of furniture or, oh my God, or formal education? You think God is impressed with any of that? You think any of that matters? No. What matters is how do you serve God through your fellow man? So we all share in the same consciousness. All of us share in the same consciousness. That's why more than one person can have this ingenious thought, this new creation or invention, something never considered or contemplated before, because it's out there. It is out there. And it's available for anyone. All you have to do is entertain it. What do you think about? What do you want? You have to start focusing your attention. Whatever it is that you want, that's what you need to focus on, not what you don't want. Okay? Not what you don't want. So don't focus on bills or the lack of money. If you need work, then focus on attracting work. Now, getting back to the mind and the mental energy, I like I said, sometimes I think I am the slowest person in the world. And when I'm talking about slow, I'm not talking about not moving fast. I'm talking about mentally challenged. Because, people tell you, and you've heard it 1,000 times, that the way to raise your vibration, or one way, because there is no one way, but one way to raise your vibration is through meditation, okay? Now, some of it can be guided, but it's not all meditation, because meditation can just be sitting still, being quiet, and allowing your mind to unfold, okay? Oh, we have a caller. Let's see what we have here. We have a visitor. Hello, welcome to One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit. And to whom am I speaking with?
Hello. Hi, my name's Lisa.
Hi. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good. I just got on the phone. I had a question. Do you speak with the dead at all? Like people that die?
No, I don't speak with the dead. Are you looking for
to get
in contact with someone?
That's fine. No, that's okay. I then have another question for me. I was looking to move, and I wonder what time frame you see for that, to buy a property.
Oh, yeah, I'm not that person. Sorry, Lisa. I don't do astrology, so I know what you're looking for. You want to know if this is when is a good time to move as far as energetically. And I don't really read the energy
astrologically. What kind of question are you supposed to ask for you?
Well, most people call me with personal questions. They may have trying to figure out what to do with a relationship, or they may ask about a job, but not necessarily. Yes, they may ask about how to juggle their life.
So I have a question a relationship. I have a question about a relationship then, maybe.
Yes,
so my son's had a lot of problems, and I just had to disassociate because it's gone on for years and years and years. And I just wondered if you see him, coming out of it, maybe hitting rock bottom and finally waking up, you know, like taking ownership of his problems or of his life, or, you know, just kind of floundering. I mean, you never know what people
decide
to do.
Does he want to take charge of his life?
I have no idea. I'm wondering what you see.
But you... Oh. Well, so I'm not a seer. So I'm more like a counselor. Like, you tell me your situation, and then I can tell you, you know, what's a good idea.
He hasn't taken responsibility. It just seems like it goes on and on and on. It's always other people.
And he won't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. And to be quite honest, Lisa, until there is a maybe like some crisis or something, I hope it's not life-threatening, but until there's probably something dramatic that takes place, chances are he won't change, because it doesn't sound – most people don't change. They usually have to have an incentive to change. And when
right,
I say incentive –
like hitting rock bottom.
Yes.
Like hitting rock bottom.
Right.
Because, like, I
exactly.
went on for years and years and years, and nothing changed for me. And then I actually hit rock bottom, and my whole life changed. It's, like, unbelievable. Like, it's just unbelievable now how good it is. But I did hit rock bottom. I actually was probably, like, the lowest period of my life. And that's what prompted me to change. Are you saying
right.
that with most people, that's how it is, that they have to hit rock bottom?
Well, yes,
or
but it doesn't have to be
person.
That way, because it does depend on the person. Because and it depends on where they are in their life. You know, a lot of it is personal growth. You know, if how does he see the world? Does he think that things are happening to him, or do he feel like he is control of his own
other
destiny?
People.
You know,
no, other people did things to him. It's always someone else. Absolutely no ownership, just negativity and, you know, prior addiction. I mean, it's really sad. So it's very serious. But, like, I can't be part of it anymore. It almost killed me. So I'm just, like, it's been going on for years and years, like, not wanting to grow up, kind of like a Peter Pan thing, but actually worse than that. That he might, though, because he did call me. I hadn't talked to him in about a year, and I told him to stay away, and that, you know, whatever happened to me, that I could never ever again listen to his problems. But he said, oh, you know, he called and said, you were such a good mom. I'm sorry for what I've done. And, you know, me and my fiance just broke up, and now she wants to sell the house that we bought together. I don't know, like, it was kind of stupid, like, why he bought a house with a fiance. So they had problems.
Yeah.
So I just wondered, could that be rock bottom or probably not? He said it was like a really rough
Well,
one.
It depends. If he is in love with her, it could be. If he was in love with her, it could be. But if, you know, if he wasn't, then no, it's not going to really have a change on him. See, something is going to have to affect him. Now, I'm going to tell you what was good, the fact that you stopped associating with him.
Oh,
because
yeah.
that let
'Cause I would have died.
Yeah, that let him know. Really? Okay. But that let him know, too, that, listen, I can no longer support whatever it is that we're doing. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. You know, I can no longer support this.
That.
I can no longer.
I told him that.
Yeah.
I said, it's hands off. I said, you know, you were a drug addict. You've had many, many problems. You will not own it. You either have to go to an emergency room or to, you know, because he asked if I, like, he didn't ask me to solve his problem, but he said, do you have any advice? Probably no one does. I said, you need to go to either emergency room or find a therapist. So, like, basically, like, I'm not owning anything with it, and it's all on him. So that is good. But some people never change. You know, I know people that I had, like, because there's been a lot of, like, sickness in my family, like mental illness. It's really, really sad, like, really mentally ill people, like, you can't believe. And I had to disassociate because they were so dangerous, you know, like, almost psychotic. And I mean, you don't ever want to admit that, but I mean, it's like, that's what I came from. And by admitting it and finally getting over it, I'm able now to know the dangers and to stay away, and that, you know, whoever's left, my parents died, but, you know, like the rest of the family, sisters, really sick people, really, really sick, and very dangerous. And, you know, I just, you know, he inherited these genes, and he made these decisions at a very early age. And I am really sad, and I'm going to pray for him, you know, but I will never get involved again. And some people never change, because, like, I know I've seen people and family members that they just never changed their whole life, and then they died. You know, they just, they never changed. They never owned it. They never got help. You know, because when you're mentally sick, you have to get help. And if you don't, you can't get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a narcissist or you're, like, borderline, you know, there are, like, illnesses out there. Like, oh, you know what?
There's a lot of mental illness out there that isn't severe. You know, there's a lot of people walking around with mental illness to the extent that they have baggage that they need to release because it's holding them back, you know? And so with him, I mean, for the most part, like I said, he'll have to change on his own. But generally, something will have to happen. And you're right. He could go his entire life without becoming a better person. And it does happen. However, it doesn't, even though they may get through this lifetime, because we all keep coming back, because we all have lessons to learn. We all have to grow as spirits. So when he comes back, his life will be different. And he, but it's interesting now because he sounds like he's playing the victim now, that everything happens to him and it's always someone else's fault why he can't get ahead. And see, like you said, people have to take ownership for their life. You have to take responsibility for the life that you have for whatever reason. And I know many of us want to blame our parents, but they were just as screwed up. You know what I mean? They did the best that they could at that time. No one is given a handbook on how to parent. The one person who wrote a book didn't even have kids. Who was that, Dr. Spock? He didn't even have children at the time in the 50s. So I think you're doing the right thing, though. You sound healthy. You sound like you're in a better place, and you know enough to keep the distance between you and him because he's not helping you. He's not supporting you. He's not encouraging you. Hello? Lisa? Uh-oh, did I lose Lisa? All right, I think Lisa is gone. Well, it was a good conversation anyway. that was a good question. She had a great question. Will he change? Will someone change? And we were just talking about, I was just talking about that earlier in the broadcast. Most people do not change. They have to have an incentive to change. And usually it's something dramatic. Like she said, most people have to hit rock bottom. Now, of course, everyone's rock bottom looks differently. So whatever rock bottom is to you, okay? But yes, oftentimes people have to hit rock bottom. Guess why? Because you can't go any lower. The only thing you can do is pick yourself up or die. And dying, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, does not get you off the hook. Why? Because going back to the universe's mind, everything that we do, first of all, there is no privacy. Okay, so get over that, folks. There is no privacy. We're sitting around talking about, oh, the government is invading our privacy. Listen. We share a consciousness with the Creator. What privacy do you think you possibly have? The Creator knows you dig in your booty, scratch underneath your armpit, don't brush your teeth every day. Now, your neighbors may not know. Your coworkers may not know. It may not be broadcast on the news. But God knows. Spirit knows it all. That's, you know, and that goes for everything. All kinds of, you know, when we steal, we lie, we cheat, all of this negative behavior, these vibrations on the lower level, because that's all they are, these lower vibrations. Listen, if you don't want to operate on that level, then start raising your vibration. And there are plenty of ways that you can do it. You can change your diet and go towards a much more natural, raw, plant-based diet. Am I a vegan? No. Okay? But I am. Have I been a vegetarian? Yes. So, but there are things that you can do. And some people would love to do the food thing and the exercise thing. Oh, I can't remember. But there are like several paths. In Eastern philosophy, there are like several paths or several types of devotees. You can have a, you know, like a follower or a devotee who basically focus on, you know, reason, philosophy, intelligence. Then you have devotees who do nothing but pray and fast, you know. You have those who read scripture or sing and dance. These are just different ways of expressing God, okay, and being in tune and in touch with God. But so we, you know, so we can't change anyone. The most we can do is we can encourage, we can help, we can support, we can nurture, we can love, we can also tough love. Tough love is being able to speak the truth, not in a I told you so or in a negative or, you know, a derogatory, well, not necessarily derogatory, but basically talking down judge in a judgmental type tone or voice. So. Oh, and I'm, you know, an hour is never enough time. But anyway, and I'm not even close to the end yet, but it's just never enough time. Because just thinking about, you know, the universe being, the all is mind, the universe being mental, and we're all sharing in that space. So, and actually, consciousness moves in a circular motion. Okay, consciousness returns to itself. And when you look at like at things out of space, you know, the galaxies, there everything is like circular or spherical or, you know, round. But as far as consciousness, it the consciousness is like a. Almost like a huge zero, or, and I say zero just because I don't know, but it's all inclusive. It's like, I can't even call it an ocean, but anyway, it's all inclusive, but it returns to itself. Think about the ripple effect when we throw a pebble into the water. You see how those beautiful concentric circles just rippling out. And even then, that's a circle. Okay. I know I'm getting excited here, and I know this. Most people probably like that is nothing to get excited about, but the fact that when you throw a rock or pebble into a body of water and it creates circles, okay, so the purpose of telling you about energy moving in a circular motion and consciousness being circular is because the energy always returns back to itself. Doesn't that sound like karma? So whatever energy you put out, it is coming back to you, not in vengeance, but that's just the way it operates. And all of us are in this pool, I keep thinking of a big zero, but anyway, we're all in this together. You know, and the reason the world is in the state that it is because we most of us are mentally diseased, you know, I mean, and the news, I mean, and in the U.S., it's just horrific here. And I'm sure it's horrific in other places here, other places as well. But, you know, for a country that just loves to laud itself as the greatest country on earth with the most horrific human rights track record, how could you possibly be the greatest country on earth just because you're not a socialist country or because you embrace capitalism, which actually exploits people's talents? But that's another story. We have to move into a consciousness of community and cooperation. The time, the era, the eon of competition is over. It's over. Listen, everything is, for the human, it is about the thought and the heart. Mind and heart energy. Mind and heart energy. Okay? So, and the mind, and it goes back to, of course, you know, the law of gender. You have male and female energy. And God is male and female energy. So, listen, if you want to refer to God as a man, feel free, okay? But know why you're doing it, okay? Don't just do it because you've been programmed to do it. Why do you call God he? Do you know God to be a he? God is everything. Everything is in God. God is both male and female. That's why God is not subject to the law of polarity. See, universal laws 4, 5, 6, and 7, most of those apply to man. The law of gender. God doesn't have the male and the female. It's all one. God doesn't need the two separate energies. It can express, receive, and transform all by itself. Whereas a physical man needs a physical woman. And when they get together, then their energy can transform and yield another human being. Okay? And that concept applies to everything on the physical level. So, all right, I digress. So consciousness returns back to itself, okay? It moves in a circular motion. It returns back to itself. And so when we start really ruminating on this and embracing this concept, then it begins to sink in, and it has to sink in. That's why I say it's not just enough to have a passing thought. Part of meditating is and ruminating is spending time in thought. Questions that you may have. The universe is the perfect entity to ask. Because you will receive your answer. It may come through a person, but you will receive your answer. And oh, let me tell you, okay, so I'm excited about this. So I've had a good friend for a long time. Yeah, we've been knowing each other, I guess, I don't know, 2002. Anyway, and she and I have talked off and on about spirituality. And when I first met her, of course, well, when we first met, so neither one of us were Jesus people. And but I mean, I've embraced Jesus because I understand the concept now. But before, when it was like, listen, you got to. Everything is Jesus, and he gave his life, and it's all vicarious. Boo, that's not working for me. But anyway, getting back to my friend. So, you know, I used to tell you, you have to walk your own path. Nobody can do it for you. You know, you have a lot of questions, because she would come to me with questions, and it was basically about, you know, spirituality and a lot of, you know, laws, but we didn't talk about universal laws. It's all through actual examples of life, okay? And I told her, I said, listen, throw your questions out there to the universe. I said, you know, when you first get started, it'll be difficult, you know. And she agreed that, you know, she was like, I need to know that this is a message from God, you know. But she emphasizes that when she makes her request, too, that I need to see blue butterflies because they're uncommon. So when she starts getting her, one particular time when she wanted an answer to something, she asked for blue butterflies. And when the answer had presented itself, so did the blue butterflies also showed up. Okay. And so for her, that was awesome, because she's not one who, you know, grew up in the church, and, you know, her elders, she didn't grow up in the church, and her elders, of course, you know, the ones who did, they're trying to convince her that, you know, the devil this and the devil that. But now she's on her own path. And she said the other day that she had asked a question and the answer came through someone, but she knew it was God talking to her. And I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but that is progress. If you knew it like I did, that is progress. And it's probably only happened over the course of maybe a couple of years. But when we converse, the more I told her, the more time and energy, the more you focus on wanting to know thyself, heal thyself, develop a oneness relationship with God, develop a oneness relationship with all. Okay, because a lot of us like to say we have a relationship with God, but yet we treat other people like doo-doo. So you can't love God and hate God's creation. It's the same with like living in the U.S. You know, you got people who claim they love the country, but they don't like the people in the country. Well, then you're just in love with the land. You ain't in love with the with the country and the culture if you don't like the people in it. So I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, we are going to have to learn how to love the worst of ourselves. And I mean that individually as well as collectively. We have to learn to love the worst of ourselves. And what I mean by that is not beating up on ourselves, but on a personal level, we all have things that we want to work on, or there are things that we don't particularly care about ourselves. But if we haven't done anything to change it, we just stop talking about it because, you know, why are you complaining? You haven't done anything to change it. But then collectively, we have to love the worst of ourselves. And like I said, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, the domestic abusers, the pedophiles, the alcoholics, the drug addicts. All these people are in pain. These people are in pain too. And just because we don't like the way they express their pain, which I understand why, because their pain causes more pain to others. Okay, so I get that. But they're also in pain too. I mean, you can accidentally fall down and knock somebody down. So you may have fallen, or let's say you were in pain and you accidentally fell down and knocked someone down, and you fell down because you were in pain, but you knocked someone else down too. Now they're in pain because you knocked them down. I'm sure you didn't want to knock them down. And maybe some of these people don't want to be what they are. Maybe they are fighting it too. Generally, they're fighting it in isolation. That's why I said we have to learn to love the worst of ourselves so that we can all heal. I know you hear my voice cracking, but it's an emotional time, so what can I say? But yes, so we can all heal. Okay? All right. Okay, so where are we? All right, we got 11 minutes to go, and we're still talking about the mind and all. But this is so important because if you're not into universal laws, if you're not familiar with them, or science of mind or anything like that, then this may be new news to you. but it's certainly not new news, okay? And this mind that we possess is the same mind as God's. Now, God knows how to use its mind. Us, on the other hand, have been programmed not to use ours. I mean, truthfully, not all of us, but many of us, and it's been by design. We live in like this system, this matrix of suppression and oppression and repression. But everything is, you know, it's about not fully expressing ourselves. You know, I was just thinking, I was listening to a video, but just thinking about listening to an audio and thinking about how in a certain era, if you didn't worship the way everyone else did or what was socially accepted acceptable at the time, then you would be banished or burned, incarcerated. So if you don't think the mind is a powerful thing, you ain't spending enough time thinking about thinking. The mind can create. The mind does create. The mind, in conjunction, the mind is your male components of creativity. Okay, remember I told you there's the law of gender. There's a male and a female component to every creation. So the mind, and in a physical human being, the mind is your male component, and your heart or your emotion is your female component. Okay, so when your mind, your male component, gets with your heart, emotion, female component, and they are attracted to each other, guess what they do? They too get together and transform their energy into a physical manifestation. And you know what we call that? Everyday life. That's right, folks. We create our own life. So good, bad, or indifferent, whether we like it or not, the life that we have is the one that we have created for ourselves, whether we recognize it or not, okay? So that thought, along with that feeling, it's like, well, I don't think that. I don't feel that. Now, you also have programs that you've been programmed, and those programs are stuck in your heart or your subconscious. Okay, so when you come up with this great thought that I want to be a millionaire, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I can do this and I can do that, and if your heart says, no, we can't, then guess what happens? Nothing. However, the male can persuade the female. Okay, how so? Through repetition. That's how we learn. Remember, 21 days make a habit. It is through repetition. Practice makes perfect. It is repetition. Learning through rote is repetition. But you learn. And what you're doing is we're programming the subconscious. So for whatever negative emotion or conflict that you have, that your heart may have with your head, you can correct that if you are cognizant of it. Most of us don't even – we're not even – ready to begin repairing ourselves. But there's a lot of work to do, and the first person to get the ball started is ourselves, just like Miss Lisa was saying earlier. Do I think he will change? My honest assessment is not unless there is a motivating factor. He has no incentive to change. He's not, it doesn't sound like he's on a path of betterment and self-improvement, of self-healing, of knowing himself. So if you're not on that path, then you generally won't change without incentive. And that's another reason why you would want to get on the path. Who wants to keep going through karma? You know, if you learn your lessons, some of the stuff you don't have to experience. The reason we experience is because clearly we haven't caught on. You know, you don't treat people this way. You don't behave this way. That's not a good idea. Now, you may not have known that at the time that you did it, but by the time your lesson comes around, oh, you well aware that that shouldn't have went down the way it did the first time around when you was ignorant of the concept. But now you know. Now you have grown. Okay? And that's what we have to do. So we're responsible for our growth. But as Miss Lisa was saying, there are a lot of people in the world in pain, as she was alluding to her family. They have mental health issues. She even said that she even referred to them as being dangerous. Now, they could be dangerous to themselves, but they can also be dangerous to others. And I know a lot of people are worried about their physical health, but let me tell you, your physical health is a product of your mental condition. Disease, that disorder, that syndrome, that negative condition, it's not a result of GMO. It is a result of negative thoughts over time. Negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative energy. I don't know, a few episodes ago, I had referenced an article that stated that we have between 12 and 60,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative. 95 of the 100. 80 of the 100 is negative. 95 of the 100 is repetitive. So if that includes the good stuff, great. We have to be proactive with our minds. You know, our minds is our most valued commodity, our greatest asset. Because without the body, the mind and heart energy is already combined. Yeah, without the body, it's like God. It's together. And, you know, if they're attracted, they make something. If they're not attracted, they don't make anything. That's just raw energy. It's like magnets. You know, if they're attracted, click. If they're not, they repel. All of this is nature. There are so many examples of God in nature. God is nature. God is everything. Beautiful. Good. But we can be the authority over our energy. We have that potential power. But to tap that energy, to tap that potential, to be the authority requires dedication. It requires concentration, focus. I'm not talking about all day, every day, but yes, you have to prioritize. God should be a priority. And I'm not talking about tithes, okay? All that's well and good. Listen, does God have pockets or a bank account? I'm not talking about tithes. I'm talking about a relationship with God, not a relationship with the religious folk in your community. Now, I'm not bashing churches because they certainly are a pillar of the community. But you do not need a church to have a relationship with God. Now, a church should, all it should do is help encourage, foster, support, be a safe haven. Not that you need one, but to be a safe haven for your relationship with God. But it's not where you go to have a relationship with God. God doesn't live there. God is, party's over. God is everywhere, including in you and me, but God doesn't control us. I say that, but there's more to it than that. God doesn't control us. We make decisions, and it's a very dynamic universe. That's what quantum physics is all about, or some of it anyway. All right, 90 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, it has been a pleasure. Hopefully you guys got something out of All Is Mine and understanding how it works. And let's raise our vibration level. That is our responsibility. There are plenty of tools and techniques, but a relationship with God, ruminating, contemplating, meditating, thing on our energy on it will help us be better stewards of the planet, of spirit. So that's what we need to do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so kindly for listening to the show, for joining the show. Thank you, Lisa, for calling in and participating. And I just want to thank everyone for being. And let's just appreciate life and each other. And love, love, love. Okay, got to go. 10 seconds. I love you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And until next Wednesday, happy hump day. Bye-bye.